Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Well, let's go ahead and get started. We might get out of church early today, but I don't know. You know how that happens. You'd be like, oh, ready to get it, ready to go. But God might revamp some things. Amen. Last week, and actually before that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we invite you in to God to be with us, to speak to us, oh God, to direct us, oh God. Dear God, we pray to God that as I preach this word, dear God, that it will not be about me. It will not be about anything but you, dear God. Dear God, that people will see who you are, dear God, and understand how we should follow in your footsteps. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And let the church say, amen, amen, and amen. Well, this is a new week. Last week, we talked on... We talked about 1 hour with God, and it's just 1 hour. Who'd you tell? Amen. Just 1 hour, and I've been continuing to pray in that 1 hour. And it's. I was telling my wife last week that as I was praying, that I had to preach on Saturday. But God gave me the whole sermon last week on Saturday morning. Every one of my scriptures, and I was just laying in the bed, and I was like, oh, I better get up. You know, I was trying to remember them, but then I was like, oh, it's too many scriptures to remember. But it showed the power of being in constant contact with God. Amen? So we talked about just being in 1 hour with God. We talked about Jesus and how he challenged his disciples to make sure they were spending the proper time that they needed to spend with God. Amen. He talked about, and then we went over a few other prayers. Does anybody remember some of the other things that we were instructed on last week? I know one of them was, if a husband doesn't want his prayers hindered, he has to honor his wife. Amen. So if I'm slapping my wife around figuratively, not literally, because if I'm doing that, I might be locked up or something like that. Anyway, and we know that too well. But if I'm not honoring her, God is not going to honor my prayers. That was something that was powerful. And also, we always know that God hears the prayers of the just. And those who are just are those that are in right standing with God or righteousness. Amen? This week, we're going to talk about the prayers of Jesus. Somebody say the prayers of Jesus. Now, there is plenty of times in the Bible where we get to see Jesus actually praying. When we look in the Bible, it talks about now that he is in heaven interceding on our behalf. What does that mean? He's praying for us constantly. Like, you know, like sometimes we think God does not care about what we're going through, what we're dealing with, the bills that are knocking on our doors, the people that are knocking on our doors. Sometimes the bills come knocking, right? But know that Jesus himself is praying for you. All of us that have accepted him, we need to know that Jesus is up in heaven and he's praying for us. And he's praying that we would, sometimes he's praying that we would understand why we're going through what we're going through. Sometimes he's praying that we would hear the answer that he's trying to send. You know, there's a lot of things that Jesus is praying for. But today we're going to break down a prayer that he actually said while he was on earth. Is that all right? I think that's all right, too. So we're going to go to John chapter 17, and we're going to read this whole chapter. But as I said, Jesus showed us while he was on earth the importance of prayer. And this week we are going to highlight some of those important things. Amen. So John chapter 17, And we're going to start at verse 1. It says, first of all, and it breaks it down. Like if you have one of those Bibles that kind of break the passages down, the first part says, Jesus prays for himself. Interesting, right? Before Jesus said anything, he's praying for himself. Sometimes we got to make sure that's what we're doing. We got to pray for ourselves. And not just for God, I need this money for this bill. One thing that I constantly pray for myself is that I would fully grasp and understand the purpose of my life. That's huge. Not only that, for my life, but as a father, as a husband, as a business owner, you can keep on going. But we got Mother Mullet in here today, huh? But what we need to do is pray for ourselves. Amen? And some people say that's kind of weird. Like, why should we pray for ourselves? Jesus was the model for us. Jesus prayed for himself. Let's go see what he said. It says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only, which is one, true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourselves, with the glory which I had with you before the world was, okay? Now, obviously, we don't pray that we are the savior of the world, but there's some things that we can get from that. We look at the beginning. He said, glorify your son so that your son will glorify you. What does it mean to be glorified? I know that's a churchy word. Anybody? To be lifted up? Right? Now I love, and then I always talk about sports. I love when somebody in sports does something great. Everybody's shouting, and they're like, yeah, it's a touchdown. And they get down and start praising God. Right? I was talking to my mom. Devin Hester did that. He scored. He broke a record. He had the most touchdowns for a punt returner. He went down on his knees and started praising God. You know, like, and to me, When somebody does that, first of all, it gets me excited, but I feel the worship and I feel the praise. I remember the first time, and you know, my mom was talking about him crying and all that. She always gets on people for crying. But I remember I didn't pray the first time I scored a touchdown, and I was upset that I didn't do that. So the second time I scored, I was running a pass. This was at Rainier Beach Field. This was my second touchdown. I caught a pass, scored. I went down on one knee, and I prayed, and I said, thank you, God. I glorify you. And I felt the power of God. I can even feel it right now. But I felt God smiling upon me. Amen? And sometimes people are like, man, why are you praising God for a touchdown? Because God gave me the ability to do that. So when I was glorified in that moment, because they do glorify people that score touchdowns. They do glorify people that are excelling in whatever they are excelling in. But instead of taking all the glory and doing some kind of dance that gratifies me, we must gratify God. We must lift up God. And that's what Jesus was praying. Glorify me so that I may glorify you. Then he said, as you have given him all authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. So we, once again, this is Jesus. He's the Savior. So there's some things that he prayed for himself that are not for us. We can't give eternal life, right? But we can pray that God would allow us to lead people to the Savior. Amen? You see how that is? He said, because he wants them to have eternal life. And then it says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, The one true, only, the only true God. That's what we should pray. God, that through me, God, that they will know that you are the one true God. Through me, when I connect with people, when I'm talking with people, let them know that you are the one true God. So what does that look like? That looks like us, first of all, humbling ourselves constantly and saying that, God, hey, everything in my life I wanted to point towards to you. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, let every time we talk, let it be seasoned with grace, with the word of God, with our testimony. Let us always be willing and ready to share our testimony. Let us glorify God with our lives. And that's what we have to pray. God, help me glorify you in my life so that people see who you are. Amen. It says, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And then he said, now glorify you in the, so that he can have the same glory that he had in the beginning. But one thing that Jesus said there was that he finished his work. Now, until you get to heaven, your work's not done. So we have to pray, God, help me complete the tasks that you've placed in my life. This is good because once we see how Jesus prayed, even for himself, it'll help us understand. Because I believe a lot of people want to pray, but sometimes they don't know how to pray. They don't know what to say. It's feeling like, oh, prayer again. God, I need something. Like, it's more than just us needing something. We need God, but that's what we need. And we need to learn how to pray so that God will move. And we have to pray the word, amen? And this is a clear, if somebody doesn't know how to pray, we can take them to John 17. We need to take notes on these things. John chapter 17 will teach you how to pray. When you're talking to somebody and they're like, I don't know what to pray, this is exactly what they need to see, amen? Let's keep on going. The next passage says Jesus prays for his disciples. Now, as leaders, this is our job, but even as parents, and I'm just going to say, if you go to church, you should be some type of leader, right? When you go to church, when it says you should be some type of leader, that doesn't mean you're going to preach in front of people, but when you leave this place, you should lead somebody. Our first job is to lead people to Christ. Amen. To show them who he is. So listen, it says, verse 6 of chapter 17, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. All right. So what is Jesus saying right there? He's basically saying that they believe that he is God. They believe that all that he gave them was from God. Amen. And they kept the word. Somebody say kept the word. It's important for us as we pray as for the disciples or even the people that are coming into this church that they keep the word. We can pray for that and we pray in thanks that God, some of them already keeping the word that they have stored in them. Amen. And I look at it and it was assuring them. They were praying that they would assuredly know that Jesus was who he said he was. Us as pastors, we want people to know that we are children of God. Amen. So we should be praying that people, I pray when we're praying for this church, that we would have a drawing power to lead people to Christ, but that they would know that we are true followers of God. Why? Because there's enough fakes already. It makes it difficult when you try to invite somebody to church and they first, oh man, church is weak. People who don't know God, they say they know God and it's hypocrites and all that. That's a whole, it makes it a lot more difficult because we just asked you to come to church. We didn't say all that, right? But That is something that we have to pray that God, that they would see that we are true about what we claim to be. Amen. We are not faking. We are not actors. We live a genuine life. Amen. And it's important that they see that. And that's what we got to pray. God, help me live this life in such a way that they know, dear God, that I'm serious about you. Even if I make mistakes, dear God, let them know that in my mistakes, I'm still serious about you. I didn't want to make that mistake, but because we are still living in the flesh, still living in sinful nature, there's going to be times where you do make a mistake, but let them see you genuinely sorrowful, and not only sorrowful, because the word of God says godly sorrow leads back to repentance. So let them, even if you mess up, let them see us repent. Amen. That's what we have to pray. Jesus prays for them in verse 9. He says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you've given me, for they are yours. Interesting. Now, I'm not going to start a doctrine off of that verse and say Jesus said, don't pray for people that are not his. Right? Because if that was the case, none of us would be prayed for that verse. So if I say, oh, don't pray for anybody that's not his already, that would cause an issue. But at this moment, Jesus was praying for his disciples, right? So he says in verse 10, and all mine are yours and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 11 says, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you've given me, that they may be one as we are. We have to pray that God will keep his sheep. Amen. And sometimes it's not even God keeping them, because he already can do that. Sometimes it's praying that the sheep don't stray. Got me? So as we are pastors in here, as we are praying for the people, let us pray that they do not stray away. Because the enemy's job is to kill, steal, and destroy, to seek whom he may devour. The Bible says, it doesn't say that one Christian against one Christian, the gates of hell can't prevail, but it says against the church, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Amen? So we have to pray that they would be unified in the body of Christ. Amen? It's important. It says, verse 12, right? While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. All right? Just as I am not of the world. So we got to pray that they are not of the world. What does that mean? That they live lifestyles that are different. Today, we live in an age where many people want to be just like the world, but be a Christian, right? You know what I'm saying? They want to do everything the world does, to the point where the world is confused. I was talking to this guy today, came to my studio. He moved up from Texas. His dad is a Kojic pastor, so he was raised in the gospel. He moved up here and his family's Jehovah's Witnesses, right? So we were just talking about it, and he was like, man, well, I don't want to go there no more. I try to, you know, keep peace with him and all that, because that's where he didn't have nobody else up here. So he's like, man, I'm trying to go to a real church where I feel the Spirit of God, because I don't feel the Spirit of God there. So I was like, man, you got to go. You're just going to have to do it. Why? Because you're not like the world. And it was interesting because one thing that he said was, don't go to the other people said, don't go to those other churches, they'll deceive you. And I was like, well, they know something's different. You know, they'll tell you that something's different. But what I'm trying to say is we cannot be like the world. Amen. The world will fool you. And one thing that they said that was interesting, he was saying that Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that there's a hell. Right? I didn't know this. But he's saying they don't believe that there's a hell. So if you don't even make it into heaven, you'll be all right. That's their belief system. And if you don't make it, then you'll just be reincarnated. And I was like, whoa, I didn't know they believed in all that. So if you, so I was like, then technically, and I was just saying, just so we understand what they're really saying is, if I live however I want to live, it's okay because I'll get another life, right? So I don't even need to listen to whatever they're talking about. Because if you believe that, hey, I'll get another chance, then you can do whatever you want to do. You just keep getting chances. But that's a lie from the enemy. Amen? Because if I really was trying to study that and understood that, I would do whatever I wanted to do. Because I get another chance. But that's not how God works. The Bible says it's appointed to man to live once, to die, and then face the judgment. Amen? There is no repeat button in this life. You can get a reset by calling on Jesus, but you can't get a repeat. Amen? So, it was interesting, man. What verse am I on now? Verse 14, once again, it said, I had given you them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So what I'm saying, too, with that whole situation is when people follow the Bible, no matter if these other people are supposed to be positive Christians or good people, whatever you want to call them, when people really follow the word, it causes issues. Amen. And Jesus was praying for his disciples that they would continue to follow his word, because he said, while I was there, they followed it. Dear God, let them continue to follow it and not be of the world. Amen. So let us follow his word. Verse 15 says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Got that? We don't pray. Now, sometimes we might be guilty of this because we want to get to heaven faster, right? We want to go to heaven and spend time with God. But Jesus said, I'm not praying that they leave the world. I'm praying that the enemy will not take them and have them in his world. So we've heard the scripture that says, though we live in this world, we are not of this world. So we are going to live. If you look at some of the parables of the wheats and tares, God could have took the tares, I believe, or the weeds out ahead of time, but he said, no, let them grow together. Why? Why did God do that? Because he wants to see if your word is really going to hold the test of life. Amen? And that's what Jesus is praying, that they hold on to the word and that the evil one does not snatch them. Amen? They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by your truth. You guys see that? And then it explains truth. Your word is truth. All right? Sanctify. What does that mean? To wash them. To clean them. To set them apart. Amen? So we should pray that when people come in, that God's word would sanctify them. That they be sanctified by truth. And that they will know that the word of God is truth. There's nothing worse than some people that believe in half the Bible and half the encyclopedia or whatever. Right? We live in an age where people are still trying to figure out, is the Bible true? And it's been like that for a while. But even the church now is, oh, I don't know. Do we need that scripture? We could take that out and be fine. But we know that the Bible says, do not let anybody add or subtract from this word, or the curse that is in the end of Revelation will be a present to them, right? It'll be happy birthday. That's what you're going to get. But we have to make sure that we believe this word. Amen? And it says, as you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Amen? All right, then it says Jesus prays for all believers. Now, when we look at that, when we look at disciples, I can refer that to actually our building, our ministry, our church, right? The people that God has placed in our fold, for the better word. But then it's praying for other believers. Now, I do a lot of this, especially in our Bible study. I pray a lot for people that are outside the country that we see facing persecution. And we don't see it that much because most of the time it's not all on the news. But then when it is on the news and everybody's like, oh, this is, it's not really that much, we got to pray. Because we know that it's coming soon. The persecution is coming. But we want to begin to pray not only for our ministries, but all the ministries. Amen? Why? And it's not just so that our church grows. This is not an our church thing. This is, man, if somebody gets saved and they go to another church, as long as they really preach the word of God, I am not tripping. Amen? Because the Bible says one waters, another plants, but God gets to increase. God gets to increase. So we even got to look at that in our hearts to make sure we're not just trying to get the increase. We want to give it to God. Amen? It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. All right, so what we got to pray for the church is that we come together. You guys see that? And not come together under a denomination. Not come together over just one particular doctrine, but come together in God, in truth, as his word said earlier. We have to come together. And believe that he was sent, that Jesus was sent. It says in verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. That's what we got to pray, that that all believers will know that God loves them. Right? Because if we don't think that God loves them, it's just like a child that you have that doesn't believe you love them. What's going to happen? They're going to hate you. They're going to hate everything you say. They're not going to listen. They're going to find their own way. And that's what it would be like if somebody doesn't believe that God loves them. If we didn't have God's love, it would just be over. But let us believe, let the believers believe that God loves them. Amen. It says 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Amen. So we have to pray that Jesus is in them. The Spirit of Jesus, and we call it the Holy Spirit, but it is still Jesus that is in them. Amen. And that the Father, he prayed that they would make it to where they actually see him being glorified. Did you see Jesus saying that? Let them make it so they can see the glory. We want to behold his glory. Amen. We want to behold his glory. So our prayer for all believers is that God would keep them so that they can be with him. Amen. Right there, we got a synopsis of some of the prayers that Jesus prayed. And that was towards the end. Right before he was betrayed. And it's interesting, man, because some of the things, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see different prayers that Jesus prays. And we're gonna deal a lot with these prayers. But let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And this is probably the most popular prayer that Jesus ever prayed. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And in my Bible, it calls it the motto prayer. Amen. So let's go ahead and break this down, and we're going to get out of here. It says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, which is what? Fakers, people that are trying to look one way, but they're not really like that. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So what is their reward? To be seen by men. Oh, wow, he was praying. Man, no prayer answered. He was just praying. That's your reward. Man, that would suck. That's pretty bad. But it says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. All right? Now, let me say this, because some people would go and say, you should never pray together in church, or you should never go pray on the streets. Is that what that scripture is saying? No, it was saying, do not pray to be seen by men. See, now I'll tell you this. Some people, even in church, they only pray to be seen by men. They pray these great prayers. They could say some great things, but they have no secret prayer life. That's the issue. Your secret prayer life is what God's going to answer. Not your prayer life in front of people. That's why it's important to have a prayer life of your own. Amen? We talked about 1 hour with God. Pray. And I was talking on my radio show today for the episode that's going to come out tonight. I was saying, if you can't pray for one straight hour, break it up. Do 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Do something so that you have some kind of prayer life. Amen? Because last week I said, everybody don't pray 5 hours. I might have prayed 5 hours a few times in my life, but I can't do that every day. I haven't did it every day yet. Amen? But pray in your secret place, and God will reward you openly. And then it says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do. What does that mean? Vain is what? Meaningless. Don't repeat meaningless prayers, right? Now, that, you know, sometimes we might say hallelujah over and over and over. That's not meaningless, because it actually means something if you're praying with your spirit and in truth. Amen? But when you're praying meaningless things, and I hate to knock certain religious sects of the church, but when somebody tells you to go pray 5 Hail Marys, and your prayer will be answered, right? What are they going to do? They're going to go pray them super fast. 1, 2. That's vain repetition. Amen? Number one, because Mary is not answering your prayer. She was the mother of God on earth. She was Jesus' mother, but she wasn't God's mother. Right? So, I mean, I don't want to even get into too deep in that. But Mary doesn't answer prayers. Only God does. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're the only ones that can answer your prayers. So unless you're praying in their name and to them, don't expect the prayer to be answered. Amen? Heathens pray with vain repetition. So it's interesting. Many people pray. Christians are not the only ones that pray, right? And I've seen people praying on the streets doing weird stuff. That ain't God. That ain't the God we serve, right? There's little G's and all that. They can have those little gods. But it says if you want your prayer answered, you can't pray like that. You got to pray in secret, and you have to pray in the name of Jesus. It says, for they will think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. Now, I know some of us, we think like God, and I've been guilty of this, like God, come on, man, don't you see what's happening? Right? And we've all been there. Like, God, if you don't do something, God, do you see what's going on in my life? I'm going through hell on earth. You know, like, God, I need your help. Right? Like, he doesn't know. Like, God is not somebody that we're writing a letter to that's like, man, I wonder what's going on with them. God sees all. He hears all. And he answers those who have his heart. It says this, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven. So we see who he's addressing, right? Our Father in heaven. It lets us know who we should be praying to. Now, I never saw Jesus say anything else but our Father. Jesus didn't pray to anybody else. Then he said, hallowed be your name. What does that mean? Hallowed. Come on, somebody help me out. Hallowed be your name. Anybody know what that means? Well, since we have smartphones, let's put them to work. Okay, holy. Holy is your name. Honored is your name. High respect due to your name, right? Amen. Hallowed be your name. And unfortunately, when you try to look up Hallowed, it just brings up Halloween. I wasn't looking for that. Because that's not what they're saying. It's not saying God's name is like Halloween, right? But then it says, your kingdom come. So Jesus is trying to teach us a few things in this prayer already. Number one, we pray to God, the Father in heaven, who's already reigning. Hallowed be your name. You're the highest, pretty much. This is the highest name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, when we are praying this, and if we really mean this, this means that God is no longer about me. Right? It's no longer about what I want because I said, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's not about my territory. It's not about me getting what I want because I am not the king. He's the king. So hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. When we pray that, what does that look like? That looks like, God, let your will be done freely as it is in heaven. But on earth, though. We want it on earth. God, let your spirit flow like he's flowing in heaven, right? Let your word move like it does in heaven. There's no hindrances for God's work in heaven, right? But when we get to earth, we see the wars in the heavenlies when Daniel was praying, right? He was praying for an answer. This is what it has to get. That's what happens to us. When we're praying for these things, and some of us have been praying for some things for a while, and we pray, God, come on, God, allow it to happen. Lord, send people in, dear God, to this ministry so that their lives will be changed, oh God, so that they can be powerful men and women of God. This is prayers that we pray. But the enemy is hindering that. Right? So what we say is, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, unhindered. Even if it's us hindering it, help us not to hinder it any longer. Because we already said that he's the king. We put him where he needed to be. Right? Then it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, some of us don't forgive our debtors, right? We want to be forgiven of our debts, but we don't want to forgive our debtors. Now, I had a situation where I had to do that. Well, I didn't have to do that, but I felt led to do it, right? I got forgiven by my mortgage company a huge sum of money. As soon as that happened, I told my wife, hey, I'm going to do this for somebody that owes me some money. And I could have bought another car with that money, you know, could have did some things with that money. But I said, they forgave my debt, so I want to do the same thing. right? And this is not to say, oh, Marquise, you're a great man. That was hard for me to do. But, and that's not the only time I've done that. I've done that with some little small things sometimes. When things arise with friends and money and you don't want to get in it, it's just like, dude, just keep the money. Like, I'm not even tripping. Just keep the money. Like, if you misread it, that's cool. Let's just move on. Why? Because that is just a debt. Now, that debt could change a whole bunch of things. But if you forgive it, what's the power of forgiving somebody's debt? They're going to remember that for the rest of their life. Now, I don't know. Some of us haven't been in too much debt. I know, Precious, you got a bill from the doctors for the surgery, right? Now, if they just forgive that debt, how are you going to feel? You're going to feel blessed. But see, part of what God does is he'll do something for us, and then he wants us to reciprocate that. So next time somebody's like, hey, I owed you this, don't even worry about this. I want to bless you because God has blessed me. Amen. And then it says, and do not lead us into temptation. Right? We got to pray this. This is prayers that Jesus showed us. This is the model prayer, as they said. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Every day we have to ask for this deliverance from the evil one. Do you know, just because you've been saved 20 years doesn't mean that the devil is just like, oh, we can't do nothing to him. The devil's not done. He's going to keep on going. The devil is not, he doesn't have like a stamina like we have, right? He's not going to run out of, some of us, we go jogging and, you know, at 3 minutes, if we're jogging pretty good, sometimes we start losing our breath and, okay, or even on your bikes, you're like, man, okay, today is a little, I ate too much or something. But the devil wants to throw trials in your way. So you begin to lose your spiritual stamina. But we have to pray for deliverance. Amen. I talked on deliverance a lot. We're going to keep on moving, though. It says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We establish your kingdom, God, the powerful kingdom and the glorified kingdom forever. And then it says, amen. Verse 14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So there's a right there, that's a stipulation. Jesus puts that stipulation in place to let you know if you want to be forgiven by man, you have to forgive. Right? You have to forgive. If you're holding on to any kind of unforgiveness, this is another way that your prayers will be hindered. You have to forgive. Because it says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. Amen? Amen. We were talking about prayers today. That's the only prayers that we're going to go over. But I believe there was a lot in those prayers that we read. John chapter 17, remember that. If we're trying to learn how to pray as a body of Christ, to pray for ourselves, to pray for this church that we're connected with, and to pray for all believers. Amen. Jesus showed us the importance of prayer, and we highlighted a lot of those today. But let us learn from the prayers Jesus prayed. Amen. Heavenly Father, dear God, I thank you, dear God, that your word is the blueprint. Dear God, that your word is the example of how we should do so many things, oh God, and we thank you, dear God, that we were able to look at how we should pray. And God, show us the way that we should pray daily. Dear God, I pray, dear God, even in our prayer lives, oh God, that you would allow them to get stronger, oh God, that we would seek you like never before, oh God, and dear God, that we would see the results, oh God, of spending time with you, oh God. Dear God, as we pray, dear God, for this ministry and the ministries all across the world, oh God, that you would pour out your spirit amongst all flesh, dear God, So as your word says that the sons and the daughters will prophesy, the young men will dream dreams and visions, oh God, and that you be glorified in us as you glorified Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.